This is Audible.
Harlequin Audio is proud to bring you His Alone by Alexa Riley, performed by Summer Morton and J. Crow.
Prologue. Ryan. 6 years ago. I sit in the metal chair feeling uncomfortable. I do better on my feet. I wish I could at least have my back to a wall, but this isn't my place. So I do as I'm told. I sit calmly and keep my breathing even, glancing around the room casually, making sure I show nothing. I have one goal here today, and it's to get as close as possible to the man I'm about to meet. Going deeper underground than I ever have before. Something I'm not sure I want. This might take me further down than I'm prepared to go. We're in a back room of a restaurant in uptown Manhattan. It's clearly used for privacy. There are two men at the far wall, standing next to an exit, and two men behind me guarding the way I came in. They both look like muscle. They'd be easy to handle. Too dumb to see what's coming. Directly in front of me is a small metal table and chair. I hear a click behind me. The door opens and someone walks through. I wish for the 100th time that I had my gun on me. I feel naked without it. I know I can defend myself without it, but I like feeling the weight of it against me. And often, someone seeing the hint of it can de-escalate a situation. But they took it from me when I walked through the door, so now I have to deal with it. The man who walks in takes a seat at the table and leans forward. He's in an expensive suit that looks custom-made. The men around him are dressed similarly, myself included. When you're in this line of work, looks are everything. Even more so for a man like this. Money means everything to him. Money and power. He sets a large manila envelope on the table between us and places his hand on top of it. He holds it there as he looks at me. His sapphire blue eyes boring into mine as if trying to read me. Good luck, asshole.
I've been told good things about you, Ryan. That you're one to keep cool and one we can trust. Is that true?
Yes, sir. The first rule in business is keeping your mouth shut. The second rule is when you talk, say as little as possible. I've mastered both of these, and it's the reason I'm here today.
You've worked for me for some time now, and I'd like to give you something of a...
He stops as if to consider what word to use. His smile is wide as he lands on it.
Promotion.
I sit and wait, breathing evenly and staying calm. It's what I do best. I'm rewarded when he takes his hand off the envelope and pushes it toward me, then leans back in his chair, watching my movements. I don't flinch. Just wait for instructions like a loyal dog.
I need information, and I need you to get it for me. You're a face that's not known around here, not associated with me directly. According to what I've been able to dig up, you were born in Ukraine and brought to America as a baby. You were raised in Chicago but ended up in New York a few years ago and made your way into my employment. Is that close enough?
Yes, sir. Rule number 3. Always speak with respect. It's close, but not all of it. Just the parts I want him to know. The most important thing to remember about lying is keep your lies as close to the truth as possible, only blurring some things. That way, you never forget. He looks me over again, eyes assessing and reassessing. I relax and wait, like he wants me to. Just like I know I need to in order to get on his good side. As if getting what he wants, he nods down to the envelope, and I finally reach out, taking it. I hold it in my hands, but don't make a move to open it. I know him. He wants people to follow his every word, and if he wants me to open it, he'll tell me.
Once this meeting is over, we won't meet face to face again. You'll have my direct number and communicate with me weekly, giving me any information you can. All that you need to know is in here. He stands, buttoning his suit jacket, and I stand with him holding the envelope. He stretches out his hand, and as much as I don't want to take it, I remember rule number 3. When he grips my palm, he pulls me forward a slight inch. But it's a power play. He wants to be the one in control, and though I'm much larger than him and far more skilled at killing a man, I allow him this move. Men like him need to keep the ego. It's all they have. I think you're going to be exactly right for this job, Ryan. You look like a Boy Scout. His evil grin makes my stomach clench as he releases my hand. He walks out of the room, and 3 of the bodyguards follow him. The 4th stops and hands me my gun, and I tuck it back into my holster as I watch him leave. Once I'm alone, I clutch the envelope and walk out the back exit. I walk 2 blocks up to a park and look for an empty bench. When I sit down, I open the envelope and flip through the contents. The first few pages are exactly what I expected. They're instructions to get as much information as possible on one particular person. They're pictures of locations, property, known assets, and people of interest. I know who this is. It's his estranged son, Miles Osborne. Everyone knows of the rift, but no one knows why. It was so bad, Miles even changed his name back to his mother's maiden name, Osborne. That had to really piss off a man like Alexander Owens. I'm guessing the rift is because Miles knows all about his dear old dad and wants nothing to do with him. But it doesn't look like Alexander feels the same. He wants Miles as close as possible, and he's going to use me to get that. The last piece of paper contains 1 sentence. The words make a chill run down my spine, and I stare at them for a long moment. There's an accompanying photo stapled to the page. If she shows up, you alert me immediately. The police suspect Alexander has had a hand in the deaths of 3 women, and I wonder if this one is another of his mistresses. Flipping the note over, I see the picture and my chest tightens as my breath catches. I reach out, touching the photo with the tip of my index finger. It's a little blurry and taken from the side, but there's no mistaking the beauty of the redhead in the photograph. Something about her touches a place inside me, and all my plans change. My blood pumps through my veins, and I could feel my adrenaline rising. I will do what I need to do to make this plan work, but there is no way I'm handing this girl over to him. I look at the picture, and I see it. This isn't a mistress. The same blue eyes I was staring at across the table look at me from the photo. I pull out the photo of Miles. There it is. She's his daughter. And I'm guessing she has all kinds of little secrets on her father. Ones he doesn't want anyone to know. I've been hired by Alexander Owens to get close to his son. And that's what I'll do. I'll be best fucking friends with Miles Osborne before the week is over. But I won't ever harm the redhead. Ever. I need her. Preface. Ryan. She thinks I'm perfect. She thinks I look like Captain America, that I play by the rules, but she has no idea who I truly am or why I'm really here. She thinks Miles was obsessed. She has no idea what obsession is. What a man like me will do to get what he wants. I'm dirtier than she knows. She thinks I'm good to the core, but she doesn't know the things I've done. The things I would only do for her. Only her.
1. Paige. I didn't know you could actually feel someone's eyes on you. I don't mean that creeping feeling when you think someone is staring at you and all the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. No, this is different. I can feel his eyes on every part of my skin. They make my body warm, in places I didn't even know existed. A part of me I'd buried long ago. Other girls probably feel this all the time, but not me. It's like he has intimate knowledge of my body, and somehow it belongs to him. His eyes, roaming my body, fascinate me. I remember every detail about them, and it's both a blessing and a curse. When I look at him, I never know what eyes I'll receive. Sometimes they're bright green, like a fresh shamrock. Other times, when the light hits just right, little blue specks shine through, making them appear almost cerulean. But my favorite is when they turn a dark green. They're the color of a morning forest, soft and crisp, and I know he's playing it cool. I often wonder if I'm the only one who can see the difference. He's always so calm and cool, but his eyes probably show me more than he wants. Or maybe I'm the one doing a little too much staring. It makes me wonder if there's more to this man, who always seems so perfect. He's too good and clean. If he knew everything about me, I probably wouldn't get those eyes on me like I do now. The ones I secretly love. At first, I thought Ryan Justice didn't like me. But over the years, I've noticed it isn't dislike, no matter how hard I try to annoy him. The annoyance I once read in his eyes has turned out to be hunger. The more I poke at him and push him away, the more that hunger grows. Or maybe that's my own I'm feeling. I should stay as far away from him as possible, because he could break me. I've already had one man almost shatter me, and I don't think I could survive another, no matter how bad I want it. I turn my head and look across the crowded ballroom to find him leaning up against the wall with his eyes on me, just like I knew they would be, like they always are. He looks casual in his suit as he tries to appear non-threatening, which is impossible when you're built like him. His size is intimidating, and even more so when he's got well over a foot and a half on you, like he does on me. I know he hates the suits, because when we're at work, he always ditches the jacket and rolls up his sleeves, revealing the tattoos that coat his thick arms. It's the one thing that always seemed off about him. The tattoos never matched the good old boy attitude. It's as if everyone in the room knows not to block his line of sight on me, because even in this crowded room, no one has stepped in his way. If I want out of his view, I'll have to leave and find somewhere else to stand. That's where the real inner battle begins. To move or not to move. As much as I hate the staring, I want it. I've been pushing for it. No matter how much I try to lie to myself that I haven't, I've come to crave it. This dress is Exhibit A of that fact. I picked it out with him in mind. I asked myself, what would Ryan, or Captain America, as Mallory and I call him, think of this dress? Would it piss him off like it does when I wear a sports bra and skin-tight shorts to our training exercises? At first I didn't do it on purpose, but when I saw it bothered him, I did it more. It's a head game I'm playing. No matter how much I tell myself Captain isn't for me, I can't stop trying to get his attention. I guess it's more like provoking him, because his attention is always on me. I like it when I get the rise, even though I push him away when he gets too close. God, what is wrong with me? I've become one of those girls who play games. This isn't me, but I find I'm not always me when it comes to him. I'm different. Or maybe it's not different exactly. He draws out a part of me that I don't want coming out. I pull my eyes away from him and turn, giving him a side view. The black, strapless dress reaches all the way to the floor, fitting snugly against me. It looks conservative until I move. There's a slit that runs up one side, all the way from the floor to the top of my hip. It bares my leg, my thigh, my hip, making it impossible to wear underwear. Top that off with the killer heels I have on, and for once, I feel tall. My legs seem longer with the tall heels and cut of the dress. I feel sexy, which is something I'm not used to. However, over the past few weeks, I found myself wanting to be more than just plain Paige. I move through the room, cataloging everything. Even though we aren't officially on the clock tonight, we're here only as light security, but the need to know my surroundings is always there. Tonight, as always, Captain and I are to protect my boss and half-brother, Miles Osborne, and his girlfriend, Mallory. Mallory is my best friend, so I've always got her back, and tonight is no different. We're meant to blend in, but if something catches our eye, we're to point it out to the security on call. The charity event is auctioning off millions of dollars in different pieces, so there's plenty of staff to handle this. Miles just likes to take extra precautions. There are art pieces, jewelry, and God knows what else here that cost more than one person makes in a lifetime, so you can't blame the heightened awareness that's buzzing through the room. Moving through the crowd, I try to see if I can lose Captain in the shuffle. I can feel him following me, and I want to shake him. Nothing is happening at the event, and I'm getting bored as each second ticks by. The space is locked up tight, and no one looks out of place. I don't foresee anything happening, and I might as well have a little fun. I turn, trying to see how close he is, but I've lost him in the crowd. He's normally easy to spot, towering over everyone in the room. But now he's the one hiding. It's one thing I've learned about Captain over the past few weeks. He moves like a fucking cat. I didn't know it was possible for someone as big as he is to be able to move without making a sound. It's unnatural and sexy as hell. We both work security at Osborne Corporation, and technically, he's my boss. Has been for years. But most of everything we've done together has been on calls or emails. Now I'm here working face-to-face with him every day. So all this is a very bad idea, yet I can't help pushing for it. Just a little more every day. We work so close together, and it would be awkward if something happened, but that still isn't enough to shake some sense into me, to stop this game I keep playing with us. Though I'm starting to question if I'm really leading the game at all. Looking around the room, I still don't see him, and I wonder with a pang in my heart if he's left. He wouldn't leave the event and go home without checking in. But I didn't think he'd let me slip away from him so easily. Maybe all my pushing is working, and I get angry with myself. Suddenly he's on me. His big hands cut my biceps as he pulls me down a hallway. He presses me up against the wall, and his palms come down on either side of my face, caging me in. His giant body is in front of me as he leans in and stares. His dark green eyes take the breath right out of my lungs. "What are you doing?" I manage to whisper. I look up at him. Even though I'm in these ridiculous heels, he still towers over me. His face is set and completely unreadable, but there isn't a speck of blue in his eyes right now. Nothing but the dark green. And my stomach tightens as all his intensity is fixed on me. It's intoxicating to have someone so focused on you. No one has ever cared to watch me like he does. Except I know why he's pissed. I might have poked a little too hard before we came here tonight. I let something, a lie, take hold and didn't try to stop it. We were both on Miles's and Mallory's details today, but I'd sneaked out and gotten Mallory a pregnancy test. Of course Captain caught me, because he catches everything. He never misses a beat, and I wonder if he has a photographic memory like I do. When he'd seen what I'd purchased, his whole body locked up, he assumed it was for me, and I didn't correct him. I let him believe I was the one who needed the pregnancy test. I did it to piss him off. It was the one and only time I'd gotten a real reaction out of him, something that wasn't a mannerly gesture. I'm sure his mom taught him to be polite when he was growing up, in a perfect house with his parents and 3.2 kids, and a dog named Spike that stayed inside his white picket fence. I should have said something, but instead I let him believe that I was fucking someone and may or may not have gotten pregnant. Seeing the emotion all over his face should have been worth it, but a knot in the pit of my stomach told me maybe I'd taken it too far. He pulls one of his hands from the wall, dropping it to my hip. I should push it away, but instead I stand there frozen, waiting to see what happens. His big palm rests on my hip, and he wraps his fingers around me. He's touched me before, but not like this. At work, when he touches me, it's with a little too much ease. He started out only brushing past me, but then it progressed to tucking my hair behind my ear. No one touches me, except for Mallory from time to time. But the more time Ryan and I spend together, the more he does it. Like he's been doing it forever. Like we're lovers. As if it's his right to do so. Normally I push him away or brush off his touch, and I hate when I do it. This time, though, I can't seem to find the will. I want his affection. I'm needy for it. I've been so starved for it lately. I need this moment. I need this one time, and then I'll be okay. I'll snatch it up and replay it over and over in my head when I need another taste of him. It has to be enough. I'm going to blame it on my best friend falling in love with a man who looks at her as if she hangs the moon. Watching them together has been bittersweet. I love that she found it, but I know I'm losing her a little. Seeing her this happy makes me crave something I didn't want to crave. Love isn't in the cards for me, even if deep down I know it's the one thing I want most. I have other plans in life, and falling in love isn't part of that. I've got a score to settle, avenging the one person who ever loved me. My mother, well, loved me as much as she could. Ryan moves his hand from my hip to my stomach and stops there. His eyes search my face, and I don't know what he's looking for. Maybe he's waiting for me to push him away, but I can't seem to breathe right as I wait for him to speak. I know he wants me, but I've been such a brat, and I tricked him into thinking I was pregnant to make him mad. It's ridiculous because it's physically impossible for me to be pregnant, unless by immaculate conception. Maybe I thought it would make him back off, and that all the things he makes me feel would go away. If he wasn't watching me or touching me, then my feelings would stop. But now he's more in my space than he's ever been.
You shouldn't be on field work. It isn't safe.
His deep voice rumbles from his chest and washes over me. I narrow my eyes on him, loving his concern, but hating that he thinks he can tell me what to do. Before I can snap at him, he cuts me off.
I don't know who he is.
Captain leans down a little more. His words are hard and filled with something I can't make out. An edge I've never heard from him before.
But apparently he's nobody important, because I haven't seen a man sniffing around you.
I want to tell him he has no idea what I do, but that would be a lie. I live in the same building as my brother, and it's one Captain monitors the security on. Along with us working security in the same building together, he pretty much knows every one of my moves.
This baby is mine now. I'll take care of you.
His words hit me hard, shocking me. He did not say what I think he did. He wants to be the father of my baby? A baby that isn't his? He wants to step up and offer to care for me and my unborn child? Never mind that there is no baby. It's the fact that he wants to do this in spite of my pushing, in spite of all that I've done to hurt him, trying to keep him at a distance. He still won't give up. It's a reminder of how perfect he is. Too perfect for me. He always wants to do the right thing. I seem to always want to do the wrong thing. Suddenly our mouths are on each other. Our lips connect and there's no softness to the kiss. It's fueled by everything I've been bottling up for him since the moment we met. The need and want I've been hiding, and all the fear of what could happen, is released in this kiss. The desire I've been hiding bleeds out as I cling to him, wrapping myself around his giant body. He easily picks me up, and my back once again presses against the wall. I want to close all the space I've been putting between us. His mouth moves against mine, his tongue pushing its way into my soft mouth. He takes over the kiss, dominating it, and I let go.
I allow myself to enjoy the closeness of him and soak it all up. I want every last drop I can get out of this. He growls into my mouth, and I find myself moaning in response. I move against him as my dress slips to the side, and I'm bare against his suit. He's moved one of his hands under me, and he's holding my bare ass, his fingers digging into my flesh in a possessive, unbreakable hold. Something about the way he has me pinned to him so tightly is making me come undone. Then he's gone. I'm on my feet, and he's turned around, his back to me. I'm in a daze, and it takes me a moment to realize he's talking to someone. Another man in a suit is telling him something, but I was too far gone to realize it. I'm lost in the moment we just had, stunned at how quickly all that perfection was ripped away. In the blink of an eye, everything can be gone. I've learned that lesson before, and it's not a pain I want to relive. It's not where my head should be, and I take a step to the side to steady myself. Captain turns and reaches for me, but I back up another step, then another. His eyes narrow on me as the guy continues to talk to him, and I hold up my hands in defense. I can tell he's going to make a grab for me, whether the guy is talking to him or not. I'd probably melt against him if he touched me, and I can't do that.
Paige?
He says my name in warning, but I shake my head. His hand clenches into a fist, but I don't give in. I need space, so I turn and I take off across the ballroom.
2. Ryan. I catch sight of Miles as I watch Paige and Mallory enter a room next to the women's restroom. He looks me over and raises an eyebrow.
"Don't ask," I say, and walk toward the door. We stand there for a moment in silence. Things pass between us that we don't need to say, and I nod at his unspoken request. I was hired by Alexander Owen 6 years ago to get close to his only son, Miles Osborne. I was prepared to do that, and a lot more, until I saw the picture of Paige. I knew what needed to happen, and I made my way to Miles to strike a deal. It turned out that we needed each other, and so our plan began to take shape. He'd seen Mallory and fallen in love at first sight. He didn't want to expose her to Alexander and his corruption. He wanted to make sure she stayed safe. Miles's past had come back to haunt him before, and he wasn't going to allow Mallory to be harmed. When I met with him the first time, I laid all my cards on the table. One of those cards was his half-sister, Paige. Miles had no idea she existed, and I was able to bring that to light, showing Miles I was on his side. I then brought her into the fold. Paige became a part of the plan after that, even if she didn't know the whole story. Miles and I formed a pact, and he's held up his end of the bargain. I've done everything I could to keep Mallory safe, to keep Alexander from touching what's important to Miles, and to keep Paige as close to me as possible. When our deal was made, I chose my side, and I'll live with the consequences. Nothing is as important to me as Paige, and nothing will ever change that. Even if in the end, she wants nothing to do with me. I nod at Miles and we take a step forward into the room our women entered. Neither of us is patient enough to give them more than a few minutes alone. When he opens the door, they both turn with surprised looks on their faces. My focus goes straight to Paige. Mallory walks over to Miles and says something to him that I don't hear. I'm not paying attention to anything other than the beauty in front of me. The one I'd like to maul. The kiss in the hallway had been unexpected, to say the least. One moment, I was picturing her with another man and getting angry as hell. Then, I was thinking about her having a baby and how I could somehow work my way into that life with her. I was fantasizing about us having a family and being together. And then the next thing I knew, our lips were connecting and I was losing all my senses, wanting to make all those thoughts a reality. I don't know who could have knocked Paige up, but the bastard isn't anywhere to be found. I will find out who it was, and when I do, I cut myself off from that line of thinking. I'll deal with that when I find him.
that someone could put his hands on what's mine makes me sick to my stomach. But I'm not angry at her for it. Maybe I should have staked my claim on her years ago. I'm so jealous I'm nauseated. I can't stand the feeling. If she'd have me, I'd never let her go. But she doesn't know who I truly am. And if she did, she wouldn't want me. Playing with the one man she hates most in this world would make her hate me. To know that I'd worked for him for years, before I even knew about her and hadn't done anything to stop him in all that time. Maybe her life would have been different if I'd found a way to rid the world of him back then. God knows what it was like to be raised by that man. But I can be good to her, and to her baby. I can make her mine and raise her baby like it's my own. I could love our child enough that it would belong to me, and then we'd never be apart. My mind clears, and suddenly my path is obvious. If I make Paige fall in love with me, then she won't care what my past is. If she could feel even a fraction of what I feel for her, then she'll understand and accept me before she finds out the truth. I can do that. I can convince her that I'm the right choice and that being with me isn't a risk.
Got a little something?
Mallory says, pointing her mouth and looking at me. I reach up and wipe away the red lipstick that Paige left on me after the kiss. As I clean it off, Paige pushes past me and walks in front, trying to keep her distance. It's probably a good idea, because I know every time I get my hands on her, she seems to melt. No matter how hard she struggles, one touch and she's mine. I'll make sure to get her alone, because we need to talk. I nod to Miles, and he and Mallory make their way over to the auction tables. I follow Paige and take a few long strides to catch up to her. I grab her arm, turning her to face me. The surprise on her face is clear, but so is the desire. You can't run out on me like that. I try to keep the pleading tone out of my voice.
You can't tell me what to do.
Her voice is low, and she's looking around the crowd. I don't want to cause a scene, so I soften my hold and walk her over to the side and away from prying eyes. I rub her arms and feel her relax under my touch. I want everyone in the room to know she's with me. Her dress is going to be the death of someone if they don't. As I look down at her and see how fucking beautiful she is, my body aches to pick her up and hold her against me. Come home with me. It's not a question, though it probably should be.
What?
She looks away, like I could possibly be speaking to someone else, then looks at me.
We can't. You're my boss.
The excuse is weak. It makes me smile, like she's ever acted like I was her boss before. She never listens to a thing I tell her to do. If that's all you've got, then I'll quit.
Good. Maybe I can take your job. I could do it better than you anyway.
She raises her eyebrows, challenging me. She's trying to get under my skin, but it just makes her more adorable. I love her spirit and the way she tries to act tough, but I know deep down she's a kitten with little claws who thinks she's a tiger. I laugh, thinking that's exactly what she is, and she cuts her eyes at me.
What are you laughing at?
She pops her hip and puts her hand on it. I can't help but picture a little ginger kitten growling and trying to catch a piece of string. Reaching up, I cup her neck and run my thumb along the bottom of her jaw. Nothing, kitten, I say softly. I like the nickname for her. If she could purr, she would, given the way she leans into my touch. Fuck. Why can't she see she belongs to me? Her body knows it, but she can't let go. That's okay, kitten. I'll fight for us. And I won't stop until I win. As if she realizes what she's doing, she takes a step back from me. As I'm about to make a grab for her, someone comes up behind me and puts a hand on my shoulder. Mr. Justice, we've got a situation. I tried to speak with you a moment ago. I turn to see the security guard who tried to talk to me earlier when I was kissing Paige, and again I turn away, ignoring him. I catch sight of Paige making her way to the entrance of the building, and I think maybe she's getting ready to leave. but I know her well enough to know she wouldn't walk out on a job. And even though we're extra tonight, she would still check in before she left. I catch a glimpse of her auburn hair and black dress as she exits the double doors and they close behind her.
Sir, I wanted to let you know, in a moment, I say, cutting him off and trying to go after her.
I speed up my steps, not wanting to miss where she goes next so I can catch up with her. After I've made it to the doors and opened them, I stop dead in my tracks. Paige is across the room, standing in front of a man I've tried to keep her away from all these years. Alexander looks up, and his blue eyes, just like Paige's, lock on me. And before I know it, Miles and Mallory walk into the foyer, and the four of us are alone with him.
3. Paige. I was able to walk away from Captain again, so I guess I have superhuman strength after all. All I wanted to do was to melt into him, but he doesn't know about my past. He doesn't know that deep down, I don't think I'm good enough for someone like him. Maybe one day I could be. Maybe if I took charge of my destiny and got the revenge I really want, then I could focus on myself, hide what I'd done. But the way my life is right now, I've got one focus, and that's to pay back the son of a bitch who killed my mother. But that revenge could make me lose him, lose everything. Captain always plays by the rules, and I'm on a path to break everyone I come against if it gets me what I want. When I step through the double doors, I keep walking, thinking I'll go outside and get some fresh air, cool down a little. I'll take a moment alone, and then go back in to tell Mallory I'm leaving for the night. There's plenty of security here, and Ryan can more than handle things without me. I often wonder if Ryan would even want me on his team if it hadn't been for Miles making him hire me. Sure, he wants to fuck me. He may even want something more. But I'm not certain he thinks I can do my job. He's often looking over me. He's even put a guard on me a time or two. I'm lost in thought as I'm walking, not paying attention to where I'm going. Before I realize what I'm doing, I bump into someone and ice-cold hands wrap around my arms. They steady me and keep me from falling over, and I look up to apologize. But the words stick in my throat as I look into the cold blue eyes that mirror my own.
Hello, Paige.
My father's voice sends a chill down my spine, and I shiver involuntarily. I manage to swallow the scream building in my throat, and he smiles at me, enjoying my terror. He always liked when people flinched away from him. It gave him some sick high. He'd almost savor it. His hands give me a squeeze and then let me go. I think he's going to walk away, but he leans down and whispers in my ear. They're the first words I've heard him speak to me since he killed my mother. Back then he told me if I ever spoke a word, I'd end up like her.
My, my, you've grown to look exactly like your mother. Such a beauty, sweet Paige. It was such a shame to end her life. What a waste. She looked magnificent every time I had her under me, especially when she cried.
He leans back a little and looks down at me, a soft smile on his face. He reaches up, and his glacial finger wipes away a tear I didn't know I'd shed. The fear inside me leeches out in the only way possible, a single tear formed of my shame and my hate, and he derives joy from it.
Just like her.
His voice is full of reverence, maybe even desire. How my mother loved him, I'll never know. This time when he smiles, it's wide and sinister, and I want to run. I want to leave this place and get as far away from him and the memory as possible. He looks past me, and I see his gaze lock on someone over my shoulder. But I don't turn to see who it is. I'm frozen, fear crippling me into stone.
Look at our little family reunion,
Alexander says, and I'm shaken out of my trance. I take a few steps away from him, off to the side, and watch as he speaks to Miles. I look over and see Mallory partially behind him, with Captain nearby,
staring at me. Understanding passes between us. He knows Miles and I hate our father. Miles has been working for years to tear Alexander's world apart. My mind is churning as I look at Ryan. I want him to run over and hold me, catch me before I crumple to the ground, sink into all that protective strength I know he has. But then I want him to stay where he is and not come near me. I don't want the evil that my father gave me to touch him, or for my father to see another weakness I have. He's great at using anything he can against you. I hear raised voices, and out of the corner of my eye I see a scuffle. Before I know it, Miles has Alexander pinned to the wall beside me. Still, I don't move. Just like all those years ago, I'm standing here doing nothing, still as weak, no matter how hard I try to fight it, to pretend otherwise. I watch as Miles chokes Alexander, and Captain stands by, letting it take place. The two of us do nothing to stop what's happening, but allow it to continue. Good, I think to myself. Let it happen. Let it finally be over. My mind wills it to happen. But Mallory walks over and places her hand on Miles's, ending it. Miles lets Alexander go, and I can tell in the moment he's let everything go, as our father falls to the floor. I look down at the weakened monster at my feet, and I want to spit on him, the man who's haunted me for years, who has never been far from my thoughts. I want to make him pay for what he did to my mother, and keep him from ever doing it again, to finally stand up for her. Miles might be finished. It's the end of the road for him. Maybe for Miles it's over, but not for me. It's only just begun. It won't be over until he's 6 feet under. I can't let go. I look up and lock eyes with Mallory, trying to clear away the pain, and I take a breath to help it pass. She knows what I'm thinking. She's the only person I've ever told about that night.
Your driver is out front, sir, Captain says, breaking through the silence in the room.
I feel Captain beside me, and his hand slips into mine, fingers lacing with mine and locking his hold on me. His strength flows through me, and it gives me what I need. In this moment, I need to feel safe, and I need to get the hell out of here. I have to face the shame at how I was once again paralyzed by my father. How can I possibly think that I can get my revenge on him when I can't even face him? Miles and Mallory walk out and slip into their limo. Captain looks down at Alexander and then pulls me toward the exit. I expected someone to call the police, but it looks like this happened so fast, no one had a chance to see it. So instead, Alexander will lie unconscious on the ground until someone finds him and gets him out of there. I follow Captain, letting him lead, letting him take me wherever he wants to take me, and not putting up a fight. Now is not the time for pushing away. When I feel myself being buckled up in the passenger seat of a car, I blink a few times. Captain shuts the passenger side door and goes around the car and gets in the driver's seat. There's so much I'm feeling at the moment, but when he reaches over and places his hand in my lap, I grasp it eagerly. I'm not pregnant, Ryan. That test was for Mallory. I didn't mean to lead you on about it. I liked winding you up. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. He's making me feel so safe in this moment, and I want to give him something, even if it isn't much. It's all I really have to give him. His fingers flex, and then he squeezes my hand. There's a small pause after the words leave my mouth, and I start to worry that he's angry with me.
Thank you for telling me. It didn't matter, though. I want you however I can have you.
I look over and study his profile, his short blonde hair, his hard chiseled jaw, his perfect nose and straight teeth. He's so handsome, it makes my chest ache. Picking up his hand, I bring it to my lips and place a kiss on it. He smells like rosewood and fresh cotton, and I want to curl into it. I watch the streetlights of New York City pass by as he drives away from my personal hell.
I picture leaving all of it behind and starting over someplace new, where Captain is with me and we have no past, no history, just each other. But that isn't reality. Life never seems to give me what I want. 4. Paige. Thank you for taking me home. I look up at Captain, feeling a little unsteady, even more unsure of myself. We didn't speak another word on the car ride home. He'd followed me up to my apartment, one hand still locked with mine. I don't want to let it go. It feels like the only thing holding me together right now and keeping other thoughts at bay. Things I don't want to think about right now. I want to focus on his hand in mine before it's gone and I'm alone again. He reaches into his pocket, leaning forward, and I think he's going to kiss me. But I hear the lock behind me pop, and my front door swings open. I'm not surprised he has a key. Probably has one to every door in the whole building. I'm staying. He pockets his keys and waits. My mouth falls open a little as I think about him coming inside. He's being so forward, and a smile pulls at the corner of his mouth.
I don't mean like that, kitten. Keep those claws in.
The comment would normally make me snap back at him, but the smile on his lips and the softness in his eyes have me returning the small smile. As much as I try to say I dislike Captain for how perfect he can be, it's one of the things that draws me to him. I know he likes me, but he's never been crude about it. That's not something I'm used to, not with how I grew up, and not even in college. I'm pretty, I know that. But for some reason, I've always attracted the assholes. Maybe it's my attitude, but they seem to flock to me. The good ones never seem to pay me much attention. Until him. And now, for the first time, a man has my attention. You really don't have to do that. I kind of want to be alone. I lie. I don't want to be alone at all. The apartment feels so empty now with Mallory gone. It's been the two of us since college, but now she spends her nights a few floors up, with Miles, and I don't foresee her coming back. He's not letting her out of that apartment. I'd grown used to having someone around, probably clung to it more than was healthy, but when you spend years alone and then you get to experience the joy of having someone so close, it's hard to let go. She's all I've ever really had. The silence in the apartment has been driving me crazy. The walls feel like they're closing in. Captain cups my face, his thumb rubbing along my jaw, and I tilt my head into his touch. I don't want him to stay because he thinks it's the right thing to do. I want him to stay because he wants to.
You can let me in, or I'll stand in this hallway all night.
You'd stand here all night?
I'd probably break in at some point, he admits. Until I think you're really all right, and not just feeding me a line.
His confession pulls at my heart, because I don't think I'll ever be all right. I don't tell him that. Instead, I motion for him to enter. He locks the door behind us, letting go of my hand, and I see him release a breath. The relief is clear on his face. Didn't think I was going to let you in? I ask over my shoulder as I make my way to the kitchen. I open the freezer and pull out a bottle of vodka. I grab a glass and pour myself a drink, shooting it back before pouring myself another.
I never know what you're going to do.
Captain takes off his jacket, tossing it over the back of the sofa as he rolls up his sleeves, revealing all those tattoos I love. I could close my eyes and trace them perfectly. That must drive you crazy. I make my way back toward the sofa and sit down. I slip my shoes off, and the motion causes the slit of my dress to fall open. I look up to see Captain's eyes zero in on my thighs before they quickly move to my face. Forever the gentleman. Until tonight when I kissed him. Or did he kiss me? It was hard to know in that moment. I couldn't tell where he began and I ended. I'd never felt so connected with someone,
and I wondered if sex was like that.
No, I'm just always speculating which Paige I'll get.
He comes around to sit on the other end of the sofa. I'm disappointed he doesn't sit next to me. Right now I could use more of his touches. But disappointment turns into pleasure as he pulls my feet into his lap and rubs them. The ache from the heels I'd been wearing all night fades away as his big hands engulf my feet and ease the pain. I take another sip of the vodka, enjoying the massage. I lie there and let him rub me, and a comfortable silence falls on us. I shoot back the rest of the alcohol and set down the empty glass on the table next to me. With only that little bit of vodka, I feel warmth flowing through me. It relaxes me and helps me to forget. I want to forget seeing my father, to forget how easily I'd frozen up when I was around him. It only further shows me how unprepared I am to see him. How can I seek revenge on a man I can't even speak two words to? How many of me are there? I tease, trying to make light of Ryan's words.
The one you pretend to be, and the one you really are.
I lean back, folding my arms over my chest. His words sink home. I wonder if everyone can see through me so easily. Maybe it's the vodka, or maybe I want to know. But I ignore his words and go for something else. You think you want me? It's not a question, because I already know the answer. The kiss we shared said it all.
Think?
His fingers dig deeper into my foot, making me moan at the pleasure. His hands still for a second, and I look at his face. He takes a deep breath, like he's trying to get himself under control, before he goes back to rubbing. Jesus, he's good at that. I want to tell him all the reasons we'd never work, that he's too good for me, that there is too much of my father inside me. I can feel it. Where else did I get these dark thoughts from? What kind of girl wants to kill her own father? What kind of girl stands by and watches her mother die? He would never do those things. Captain would have saved the day. Maybe he could save me. The warm buzz of the alcohol pushes me on. I slip my feet from his lap, and he reluctantly lets me go. I start to crawl toward him, and he doesn't move as I work my way to him and into his lap. I press my face against his neck, breathing in his scent of rosewood, and his arms wrap around me, only holding me. I can't remember anyone doing this, not even my own mother. Did you know I remember everything? I tell him a secret few people know about me.
What do you mean by everything?
His hand on my back moves in slow circles. It's a lazy rhythm that makes my eyes fall closed, and I melt into him. Everything. I feel him pause for a moment before he starts rubbing again. The first time I saw you, you had on dark blue slacks, a white button-up shirt. Your tie was long gone, and the top two buttons were undone. When you'd turn a certain way, those damn muscles of yours would flex and strain under your shirt. I would get a glimpse of the tattoos trying to peek out your sleeves. I spent so many nights wondering what they looked like after the first day. How they would trace up your arms. My fingers are tracing them on his right arm now. I don't have to look to know I'm tracing them perfectly. I keep my eyes closed, my face buried in his neck, breathing him in. I want to smell his scent forever. It's somehow comforting. It took time before I got to see them all, but I only needed one look. Now I'll always know their exact pattern. Sometimes late at night I trace them on my own arm.
Paige.
He says my name softly, but it vibrates through his body and into mine, making me smile. I brush my nose against his neck, then place a soft kiss there. He stills once again. I love how I can do that to him with one little touch. It feels empowering, and after what happened tonight, I revel in it. I felt so powerless in front of my father. I thought after all these years, I'd have been better prepared. No longer that scared little girl.
That's one of the good things about remembering everything, I tell him, placing another kiss on his neck. The bad part is, sometimes you want to forget something you've seen, but time can't lessen the pain because you keep seeing it. The memory never fades.
Oh, kitten. He squeezes me hard, like he's trying to take some of those bad things away. I wonder if he knows what he's doing. If he hadn't come in here tonight, I'd probably be in my bed replaying memory after memory of things I didn't want to recall. But right now all I can think about is his arms wrapped around me, the smell of him invading me, and the little taste I have of him on my lips.